Hey guys, welcome back. Now, I know this has been covered by a lot of people because it's a very famous creepypasta, but I'm late to the trend. I wasn't a podcast person back then, and I don't really care, so we're gonna do it anyway. Stay tuned, I guess. Let's go. Back during World War II in the 1940s, the Russian researchers were trying to figure out a way to keep their Russian soldiers awake. That way, they wouldn't get surprise attacked, and they'd be able to surprise attack others during the night. So they wanted their soldiers to stay up longer. So they took 5 prisoners and told them, if you go through with this experiment, we will let you go and you will be free. And sadly, this was not an uncommon thing to happen during World War II. There were a lot of different nations and countries that experimented on men, women, children. It wasn't a very good time, as we all can agree. And even though the researchers told the prisoners they would let them go if they went through with the experiment, they would not actually let them go. That is just something that a lot of people would say just to get the people to do the experiment. Then they'd let them go, and then a couple days later, they'd recapture them and kill them. And sadly, that's just the way a lot of things worked during World War II. Now, how this experiment would work is that they would put them in this sealed environment, basically a chamber, and they would carefully monitor their oxygen intake, and they would pump gas into the room with an experimental-based stimulant. They, like I said, made sure to very carefully monitor their oxygen intake to make sure that the gas wouldn't kill them, since it was toxic in high concentrations, which is deadly, or can be deadly, or at least very, very toxic to the human body. This was before closed circuit cameras, so they only had microphones and 5-inch thick glass that was like a bubble into the room. It was a window, and on one side, there was the chamber, and then on the other side is where the scientists would watch their experiments. The chamber was stocked with books, cots to sleep on, but no bedding. There was also running water and a toilet and enough dried food to last all 5 for over a month. The test subjects were very hesitant at first, but as soon as they heard that they would be let go completely and even helped out, they lied and told them that they would help them out and make sure they wouldn't get captured. They immediately agreed, and soon after, they were put into the gas chamber. And everything was fine for the first 5 days. The scientists were really confident, considering they were completely fine after the first 5 days, and the subjects didn't really complain. They had been promised that they'd be freed, and they'd all talked about what they would do when they were free, and, you know, they talked about their life story and, you know, tried to lighten the mood. And the scientists, they let it happen. They didn't say anything. Their only job was to watch, monitor, and take notes. And their conversations and activities were, like I said, pretty normal. And then they slowly started to talk more about traumatic incidents in their past. And the general tone of their conversations took on a darker aspect after the 4 or 5 day mark. After about 5 days, they started to complain about the circumstances they were in and the events that led them to where they were, and they started showing signs of severe paranoia. They stopped talking to each other completely, and the one-way mirrored porthole, and they instead started whispering to the microphones, saying that, oh, so-and-so can't be trusted, and they just lied and tried to give the scientists information that was completely false, by the way. Give them information that would prevent them from the person they're talking about from leaving, but then allow them to leave. Which wasn't gonna happen. They thought that they could win the trust over the scientists, and obviously the scientists didn't believe that any of what they were saying, so he was basically just wasting their time. After around 9 days, the first of them started screaming. Just screaming and screaming and screaming, this blood-curdling scream. In addition to screaming at the highest pitch that he possibly could, he ran back and forth through the chamber, repeatedly yelling at the top of his lungs for 3 hours. 3 hours! I can barely scream for 5 minutes. Imagine 3 hours. He continued to attempting to scream, but was only able to produce occasional squeaks. The researchers started thinking, and they came to a conclusion that he'd probably physically torn his vocal cords. The most surprising thing about this is how the behavior of the other captives react to it. Or, let me rephrase, the fact that they didn't react to it. They just kept acting like they were all still silent and in their own little corners. The second one of the captives then started to scream. The two non-screaming captives took the books apart, smeared page after page with their own feces, and calmly pasted them over the glass portholes. The screaming promptly stopped. So did the whispering to the microphones. After 3 more days passed, the researchers checked the microphones hourly to make sure that they were working, since they thought it was impossible that no sound, absolutely no sound, could be coming from 5 people inside. So, and you gotta also take into consideration that microphones back then were not very good. This was back in the 1940s, like I said, so technology wasn't that advanced, so it's reasonable that they wouldn't be able to hear them, but still, it's still concerning enough to the scientists that they needed to check. The oxygen consumption in the chamber had indicated that all 5 of the subjects are still alive. In fact, it was the amount of oxygen that people would consume at a very high level of exercising. On the morning of the 14th day, the researchers did something they said they would not do to get a reaction from the captives. They used the intercom inside the chamber, hoping to provoke any response from the captives they were afraid were either dead or vegetables. So one of them got on the intercom and calmly said, "We are opening the chamber to test the microphones. Please step away from the door and lie flat on the floor or you will be shot." Compliance will earn one of you your immediate freedom. And to their surprise, they heard a single person with a very calm voice and very calm and almost monotone voice said, "We no longer want to be freed." Confused, the researchers and military forces that were funding the project started talking and came up to the conclusion that they would still open the chamber at midnight on the 15th day. The chamber was flushed out of the stimulant gas and filled with fresh air, and immediately voices from the microphones began to object, but only three different voices began begging, as pleading for the life of loved ones to turn the gas back on. Turn the gas back on. Turn the gas back on. The chamber was opened and soldiers were sent in to retrieve the test subjects. The subjects began screaming even louder, and so did the soldiers when they saw what had happened inside. Four out of the five test subjects were still technically alive, but they were more like breathing and moving corpses. They barely even looked human anymore. The food rations past 5 days had not been so much just touched. There were chunks of meat from the dead test subjects' thighs and chest stuffed into the drain in the center of the chamber, blocking the drain and allowing 4 inches of water to accumulate on the floor. As they opened the door, some of that water rushed out, and the scientists, before they even stepped foot into the room, were confused as to where it came from, but after investigating, they were horrified. Precisely how much water on the floor was actually blood was never determined, but all four remaining test subjects also had large portions of their muscle and skin torn away from their bodies. The destruction of flesh and exposed bone on their fingertips indicated that the wounds were inflicted by hand, not with teeth, as the researchers initially had thought. Closer examination of the position and angles of the wounds indicated that most, if not all of them, were self-inflicted. The abdominal organs below the ribcage of all four test subjects had been removed. While the heart, lungs, and diaphragm remained in place, the skin and most of the muscles attached to the ribs had been ripped off, exposing the lungs through the ribcage. All the blood vessels and organs remained intact. They had just been taken out and laid on the floor, fanning out the eviscerated, but still living bodies of the subjects. The digestive tract of all four somehow seemed to be working, and that absolutely baffled the scientists. But either way, it quickly became apparent that what they were digesting was their own flesh that had been ripped off and eaten over the course of the days. Most of the soldiers were Russian special operatives at the facility, but still many refused to remove the test subjects from the chamber. They continued to scream to be left in the chamber and alternately begged and demanded that the gas be turned on or they will fall asleep. To everyone's surprise, the test subjects put up a fierce fight in the process of being removed, which they didn't really think was possible considering a lot of their muscle had been removed. In fact, one of the Russian soldiers actually was killed by having his throat ripped out. Another was gravely injured by having his testicles ripped off and an artery in his leg severed by one of the subject's teeth. I know that's not funny, but I'm an immature person, and yeah. Another five of the soldiers lost their lives, if you count ones that committed suicide in the weeks following the incident. In the struggle, one of the four living subjects had his spleen ruptured and bled out almost immediately. So, now there are only three. The medical researchers attempted to sedate him, but this proved impossible. He was injected with more than 10 times the human dose of a morphine derivative. And still fought like a cornered animal, breaking the ribs and arms of one of the doctors, who immediately left the facility and ended up quitting a few days later. And when the heart was seen to beat for a whole 2 minutes after he bled out, to the point there was more air in his vascular system than blood. Even after it stopped, he continued to scream and flail for another 3 minutes, struggling to attack anyone in reach, who just repeating the word more, more, over and over, weaker and weaker, until he finally fell silent. The surviving 3 test subjects were heavily restrained and moved to a medical facility, the 2 with intact vocal cords continuously begging for the gas, demanding to be awake. The most injured out of the 3 was immediately taken to the only surgical operating room that was in the facility, and the process of preparing the subjects to have his organs placed back within his body was found difficult. They soon realized that the sedative that they began pumping into him was basically immune. He fought furiously against his restraints. When the anesthetic gas was brought out to put him under, he managed to tear most of the way through a 4-inch wide leather strap on one wrist, even though the weight of a 200-pound soldier was also holding the wrist as well. It took only a little more anesthetic than normal to put him under, and the instant his eyelids fluttered and closed, his heart stopped. In the autopsy of the test, the subject had died on the operating table. It is found that his blood had tripled the normal level of oxygen. His muscles were still attached to his skeleton, were badly torn, and he had broken 9 ribs in his struggle to not be subdued. Most of them were from the force of his own muscles that had exerted on them. The second survivor had been the first of the group of the 5 to start screaming, and was the vocal cords that were broken guy. And he only reacted by shaking his head violently in disapproval and tried to scream, but only squeaks came out. And when the anesthetic gas was brought near him, he shook his head yes when someone suggested reluctantly they try the surgery without anesthetic, and did not react for the entire 6-hour procedure of replacing his abdominal organs and attempting them to cover with what was remaining of his skin. The surgeon presiding stated repeatedly that it should be medically possible for the patient to still be alive. One terrified nurse assisting the surgery stated that she had seen the patient's mouth curl into a smile despite being basically torn apart whenever his eyes met hers. When the surgery ended, the subject looked at the surgeon and began to wheeze loudly, attempting to talk while struggling. Assuming this must be something of drastic importance, the surgery had a pen and a pad fetched so that the patient could write his message. It was simple: keep cutting. The other 2 test subjects were given the same surgery, both without anesthetic as well, although they had to be injected with the paralytic for the duration of the operation. The surgeon found it impossible to perform the operation while the patients laughed continuously. Once paralyzed, the subjects could only follow the attending researchers with their eyes. The paralytic cleared their system in the abnormally short period of time, and they were soon trying to escape their bonds. The moment they could speak, they were asked, asking for the stimulant gas. The researchers tried asking why they had injured themselves, why they had ripped out their own guts, and why they wanted to be given the gas again. Only one response was given: I must remain awake. They thought this was all the ramblings of a bunch of crazy people. But soon they realized that they were not ramblings of crazy people. That was them trying to stay alive. Soon, all three subjects' restraints were reinforced and they were placed back into the chamber, awaiting determination as to what should be done with them. The researchers, facing the wrath of their military benefactors for having failed the started goals of their project, considered euthanizing the surviving subjects. The commanding officer and ex-KGB and said saw potential and wanted to see what would happen if they put back on the gas. The researchers strongly objected, but were overruled. In preparation for being sealed in the chamber again, the subjects were connected to an EEG monitor, which basically monitored their brain waves. And made sure that they would stay alive. They had then placed them in a padded room for long-term confinement, and to everyone's surprise, all three stopped struggling the moment it was let slip that they were going back on the gas. It was obvious that at this point, all three were putting up a great struggle to stay awake. One of the subjects that could speak was humming loudly and continuously. The mute subject was restraining his legs against the leather bonds with all his might, first left, then right, then left again, for something to focus on. The remaining subject was holding his head off his pillow and blinking rapidly. Having been the first to be wired to the EEG, most of the researchers who were monitoring his brainwaves were in shock. They were normal most of the time, but sometimes flatlined inexplicably. It looked as if he kept repeating a brain death. Soon, they realized that was because every time he blinked, or connected the fact that every time he blinked, he'd have a brain death. That they saw the patient's head fall onto the pillow, his brainwaves immediately changed to that deep of sleep, then flatlined for the last time as his heart simultaneously stopped. The only remaining subject that could speak started screaming to be sealed in now. His brainwaves showed the same flat lines as the one who had just died from falling asleep. The commander gave the order to seal the chamber with both subjects inside as well as three researchers. One of the named three immediately drew his gun and shot the commander point blank between his eyes, then turned the gun on the mute subjects and blew his brains out as well. He pointed his gun at the remaining subject, still restrained to a bed, as the remaining members of the research team fled the room. I will not be locked in here with these things. Not with you. He screamed at the man strapped to the table. What are you? What are you? He demanded. I must know. The subject smiled. Have you forgotten so easily? The subject asked. We are you. We are the madness that lurks within you all, begging to be free at every moment in your deepest animal mind. We are what hide in your bends every night. We are what you sedate into silence and paralysis when you go to the nocturnal haven where we cannot tread. The researcher paused, then aimed at the subject's heart and fired. The EEG flatlined as the subject weakly choked out. So nearly free. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. If my voice is kind of died a little bit, I am suffering from allergies and my throat hurts a lot, but I really wanted to get this out for you guys, so sorry. Make sure to check out all my others. And, yeah. Check out Anchor. Bye. Love you. Oh my god, I feel like I'm dying.